Hey, this is Pastor Dave. It's great having you with us. Dig into this word, hear it, and do it, and be blessed of God. For meals, I just want to thank you. Tonight, I want to go just quickly into the power of fasting. Why do we even fast? And all the blessing that comes with fasting. I also want to take some time just to recognize the power of prayer tonight as well. And we'll see how our time goes and that we would take some time to pray. So a lot of times we just say, fasting already. I don't know if I can do that. I recognize, some of you have a very high metabolic rate. And it's like you're eating like more than three meals a day. Some of you are eating. How many of you have snacks before you go to bed? Anybody? I'm the only one. Wow, you guys are good. A few out there. I find that, we eat a little bit more perhaps than others. However, there is something about fasting, and we're going to get into this thing of fasting. And we're also going to get into prayer tonight. One section of the prayer tonight, and it's tying in with the fourth day. We're on the fourth day of fasting and prayer. If you did not get any of those prayer directives, make sure you get one and take it with you, or take a screenshot or take a shot of picture of it, and it's in your phone, and you can go to the next day. And what we've been doing here is just taking time to thank the Lord, whether it's before or after our time of whatever the directive is. So tonight we're going to be asking for wisdom when it comes to the direction of our lives, when it comes to the decisions that we need to make, and the aspect of asking for wisdom, just the benefit of asking for wisdom. So beautiful. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 58, and we're going to go through this chapter. Some parts are going to go a little bit faster. Some parts are going to take a little bit more time in it. And was there any time that the Lord asked for there to be a fast that you recall or that you would know of? I found this interesting. When it came to a fast, I'm talking, okay, yes, to fast and pray some don't come out except by fasting and prayer. But there's, from the Old Testament, is there any mention of fasting in the Old Testament? Sorry? In Joel, okay, sorry. In Esther? Any other mention of that was called by the Lord? Okay, sorry? Moses fasted, yeah. Okay, so there is, we'll get into the first few verses, and then we'll go to a few chapters or a few verses in Leviticus where it talks about fasting. And it's interesting, the Lord didn't put on us these great burdens of fasting. And again, for myself, I'm not saying, I don't say to you, hey, you know what, you have to fast for the next 3 weeks, because that's what we're doing. It's, no, as the Lord leads you to fast. But I want to encourage you, the benefit of fasting. There are so many benefits of fasting that go way beyond, even physically. We know naturally, I don't know how many of you have heard of intermittent fasting, anybody? Not from religious point, but from the health aspect, is intermittent fasting. And so they're saying that that's something that you should do on a regular basis, on a weekly basis, to have this intermittent fasting. So it's a short period of time where you just say, I'm not eating. And I've come to find that it is extremely beneficial for your body. I think I alluded to this or mentioned this a few years ago. It was the beginning of the year, and I was fasting. And I was on high blood pressure medication. And I had checked, or I was like 3 days into a fast, and on the third day, it suddenly hit me, oh my goodness, I'm taking this high blood pressure medication, and I don't even know if it's good for me to be fasting if I have high blood pressure. And within 10 minutes, so I just Googled it, within 10 minutes, I came across an article, and at that time, it was like 3 years, within 3 or 4 years, where there was a study done by 300 individuals that had extreme high blood pressure. 10% of them were taking blood pressure medication. And here's what they found. And I just say, thank you, Lord. They found the best way to bring down your high blood pressure is to fast and do a water fast for at least 4 days up to 28 days. 4 days to 28 days. And so I was 3 days in, and they even had some instruction what they were doing for those that were on high blood pressure medication. They were basically every 3 days cutting it in half. So that's what I did. So I was on the third day. The next day for the fourth day, I took only a half of that tiny, was smaller than a kernel of rice. And then 3 days later, I cut it in half again. I was down to a quarter. And then after that, none. I didn't take any. And from that time on, that was 2016, I take no high blood pressure medication. I just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All glory to him. And the power of fasting health-wise, there are so many benefits to it. And a lot of times when it comes to the things of the Lord, it's like, well, it's a sacrifice, or it's difficult, and so we don't do it, or we don't recognize the importance. Today I want you to know the importance of fasting. So it says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet, tell my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. So in this first verse, just quickly, Isaiah was to cry aloud, lifting up his voice like a trumpet, like you declare it, and he's saying, tell my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. How many of you would want to have somebody saying, hey, this is where you're transgressing? And the Lord is saying, I want you to say it loudly to the people, to the Israelites, my people, their transgression. Now, here's the indictment as it comes in. He says, yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching God. So here they are. It's almost like, what would we call that if somebody is blatantly transgressing and then coming into the house of the Lord and it's everything is good, I'm doing all right? What would we call that? Hypocrite. Said no. And the Lord is calling them on this. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls and take no notice? In fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit all your labors. So there's two questions that the Lord is having Isaiah write by the Spirit of God. And it's, hey, haven't you noticed we fasted, Lord? We fasted. You know how many times they were supposed to fast every year? Once. You know how long for? One day. Just one day. One day in the year. They're saying, hey, we did that, Lord. We did that. That one day we fasted. You might say, which day is that? Interesting. Leviticus 16, verse 29. This shall be a statute forever for you. In the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether a native of your own country or a stranger who dwells among you. So afflict your souls. There's a thing of looking at within, a thing of looking within to say, hey, am I right before the Lord? Am I in the right place before the Lord? And there's a looking and examining of self on this day. Now, again, it's interesting to see what day that is. For on that day, the priest shall make atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It is a Sabbath of solemn rest for you. So this is a day set aside of solemn rest for you, and you shall afflict your souls. Examine yourselves. Look at yourself. Where have I erred from the Lord? Am I doing things that I shouldn't be doing? It is a statute forever, and the priest who anointed and consecrated, who is anointed and consecrated to minister as a priest in his father's place, shall make atonement and put on the linen clothes, the holy garments. Then he shall make atonement for the holy sanctuary, and he shall make atonement for the tabernacle of meeting and for the altar, and he shall make atonement for the priests and for all the people of the assembly. This shall be an everlasting statute for you to make atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year. And he did as the Lord commanded Moses. Now, the Jews still celebrate Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Every year, the seventh month, the tenth day, is the Day of Atonement. And their calendar is different. It starts at the Passover, from the Passover, or that month and on. So it usually, this 10th month lands either in September or October. The seventh month, the 10th day. So, and in it, with this, on this Day of Atonement, what do you think was a huge part of the Day of Atonement when it came to how they were being atoned? Does anybody know? What was involved in the cleansing of the people, of the priests, of the sanctuary, the tabernacle of meeting for the altar, and the priests and all the people of the assembly? What do you think was involved in that? There was a sacrifice. Jesus is our sacrifice, our atonement, and so here they are taking this all lightly. Lord, come on, we fasted. We fasted, and now there's things when it comes to looking at inward. It says, indeed, you fast for strife and debate and strike with the fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. So there's stuff happening, strife, debate, the striking with the fist of wickedness, and you're fasting too, and you're fasting as well to make your voice heard on high. And so they were just going through the motions while there was issues in their life. Is it a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? This thing of afflicting his soul is an inward looking at ourselves. Listen, when we fast, as we fast, part of it would be, Lord, let there be a repentance that takes place. Let there be an examining of self as we go to fast. Lord, here the word came up, hypocrite, not to have any hypocrisy as we come before the Lord, even as we would fast. Lord, let there be a cleansing of me. Lord, as I examine myself, I recognize there's issues in my life, and there is a cleansing as we confess our sins. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that we're not doing things just by an outward show. Yeah, I'm fasting, Lord. See, I'm fasting. But that there would be examining of ourselves a day for a man to afflict his soul. Lord, let there not be anything in me that isn't right. Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord if I'm just going through the motions? Is this acceptable? So let there be an examination of self before the Lord. Is this not the fast that I have chosen to loose? Now listen, when we do the fast properly, and even if it's just one meal or one day, Lord, I come before you, I examine myself, I humble myself before you, reveal by your Holy Spirit if there's anything within me. Lord, let me do this. I don't want to go through the motions. Or listen, we can fast, and in the New Testament, it's talking about that we would not let our right hand know from our left hand the things that we're doing, to let others, everybody, I'm fasting now. That there would be this fast. The fast that I have chosen is to loose bonds of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Is this not what I have called for? So as we begin to fast, and not just for ourselves, we're fasting. Oftentimes we're fasting for others and for the situations in other people's lives. And so here the Lord is saying, I want to loose the bonds of wickedness, that people are set free from those things that are plaguing them, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke of bondage. There is power as we begin to fast, even to the breaking of yokes of bondage, to break every yoke. This is why. To push through, can I just say, push through on this aspect of afflicting the soul. I'm going to examine myself, and I'm going to not just be missing a meal, but I'm going to, there be a looking at itself because of the power as we come before the Lord, knowing that he is the one that does the atoning. He is the one that cleanses us. He's the one that washes us clean. And we can come boldly into the throne room of God. And the Lord wants to do a powerful work. And we come through the veil. This is Hebrews 10, verse 19 and 20. And it says, we come through the veil, which is his body that was broken for us. The veil that was torn in half, that was broken for us, and we can come boldly into the presence of God Almighty. And he desires to do things on our behalf as we come in that way with humility, as we come examining ourselves and Lord, and getting it right before the Lord. I just say, thank you, Jesus. Lord, when we come then to pray, as we fast and pray, the Lord is saying, I want to break the bonds of wickedness. Some of us that we're praying for, do it with fasting. Do it with fasting so that the bonds of wickedness that are perhaps in your loved ones, that maybe they know the Lord or they don't know the Lord, that it would be broken. To undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free. As that would be the thing as we're fasting throughout the next 3 weeks. And again, as the Lord puts it on your heart, push through also physically. So I'll tell you right now, some of us really don't know what it is to be hungry, because as soon as we feel the first pang of hunger, is I got to eat. Lord, let me push through the pangs of hunger or whatever comes along with it. Let me push through, because, Lord, it's going past me. Let there be a work done. And it just continues on. Isaiah, the next verse says, is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring in your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. to have impact, to touch other people's lives. How do we deal with others? Others that are hungry. Others that are cast out. They don't even have a house. And so they're cast out, and here you can bring them. I want to minister to those that are poor, that are hungry. When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. How do we deal with others? Now, the next number of verses is just like one thing after another. I've already mentioned a few things here, but just one thing after another that the Lord wants to do. Listen. So the way that we are treating others, and now we're praying for them and praying that God will do a work, it says, then your light shall break forth like the morning. So before the light breaks forth, there's darkness. Apparently the darkest time is just before the sun comes up. Very dark. And then as the sun breaks forth, the light breaks forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily. So here the Lord is saying, hey, I want light. I want light to come into your life, that you would see, that you would recognize, hey, I'm not in darkness anymore. I'm not, even though I'm going through hard times, I don't have to worry. The light is breaking forth. Healing shall spring forth speedily. And your righteousness shall go before you. So not only healing, but righteousness, to be in right standing before God. I'm in right standing. Doesn't it feel good to be in right standing with God? It's like, oh, thank you, Jesus, for that I'm in right standing with God the Father because of your finished work. Hallelujah. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. So it's one thing. It's like, hey, if I'm looking this way and there's something that I have to watch out for, I'm looking ahead of me, it's interesting. Or it's like, hey, who's got my back? You ever hear, do you got my six? You know, if 12 o'clock is here, 6 o'clock is here, does somebody got my six? Somebody got my back? It says, I will be your rear guard. I'm going to watch out for your back. The things you don't even see coming, I'm going to watch out for them. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. We know, Lord, you've got my back. I don't have to worry. And this is what the Lord is saying. Hey, the fast that we fast, these things the Lord wants to do. Then you shall call and the Lord will answer. So we call on the Lord and the Lord answers. You shall cry and he will say, here I am. We cry out, Lord God, help me. Or help in this situation, help. And there is this aspect of the Lord saying, I'm here, and I'm going to take care of this. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness. So some of the things here, as I looked a little bit more into the pointing of the finger, this thing of making a signal. Hey, you know, I taking a bribe. Yeah, you give me something. This thing of wickedness, of our conduct. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the thing that is holding you back. Now, a yoke with the Lord is good, but I'll tell you, so often we are yoked. We are bound and we're tied up and we can't get out of that thing that's dragging us down. And there's some of those things is we're not just yoked to it. It's like, yeah, I don't mind this. I'm going to hang on to this. The Lord is saying, get rid of it. Get rid of this. And this pointing of the finger, this thing of being dishonest and speaking wickedness, get rid of it. If you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. You know what? As we examine ourselves as we afflict ourselves, even in the heart, in the keeping of the fast or in fasting. It says, then your light shall dawn in the darkness. I'll tell you, there's times where we're in darkness. And it's like, oh my goodness, I don't see a way. I don't see a way. I don't see a way out. And it's difficult. I don't know, am I going to get through this? It says, then your light shall dawn in the darkness. Even the things that, hey, as Jesus says, you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they would see your good works and glorify our Father in heaven. The light that we are in darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. So the Lord is saying, hey, I'm going to be with you in the darkness, in the hard times, in the rough times. I'm going to be with you, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. In other words, the things you're going through, it's like the noonday. It's like, okay, this isn't so bad. I can see. I'm not alone. I can see. I just say, thank you, Lord. These are all benefits I've already mentioned at this point. Six, as your heart is to help others, if you extend your soul to the hungry, it's going past yourself to minister to others and satisfy the afflicted soul is not just yourself, but also the others that are around you that are afflicted in their soul. Then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The negative times, the rough times, you say, you know what, I can get through this. The Lord is with me. The light is shining. The lights are on. Do you ever remember when you were a kid? The lights, I don't know how many of you had a night light. You had a little light on because you didn't like being in the darkness. I can remember where we lived before. So because we're on a ravine lot, our bedrooms were on the floor down, one floor down from the main floor. And so we were downstairs. Our bedrooms were on the bottom floor. And I can remember as a kid, if I was turning off the lights as I was leaving my bedroom, it'd be like there's somebody chasing me. And so I would run as fast as I could up those stairs. And as I was turning off lights, but it's like, okay, I need to get into the light. And there's like this fear. You ever feel like, ooh, is somebody there? Now sometimes there are beings that are plaguing, and the enemy would like to create fear and turmoil, but there's something about the light. The enemy likes to work in darkness and bring fear. The Lord, he brings light into our darkness so that our darkness shall be as the noonday. Thank you, Jesus. All as we fast, and the Lord is doing this work on our behalf. I like what it says in Romans 8:28. I think many of you know this verse. And we know that all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. So all things work together for good, for our good. Two things, criteria. One, to love God. And the second criteria is to keep his purpose. Lord, I surrender and submit to your lordship. When you surrender and submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ in your life, you will fulfill both the loving of God and the keeping of his purposes as you submit. If you don't submit, you will struggle. And the things don't always work out then, because I'm going to do my own way. I want to do what I want to do. No, God, you're not going to tell me, not in this area. I'll do this, 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 and this, but not in this area. I'm going to hang on to it. And it's usually that area that is then an issue for us. We don't let go of. All things work together for good to those that love God, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know what? When you love God and you submit it to him, so the Lord gives a commandment, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Lord, as Jesus is your Lord, there's this aspect of his purposes being accomplished in our lives. Lord, let your will be done in my life. Let it be done in my life. Hallelujah. Praise God. It says here in verse 11, Isaiah 58, verse 11, the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought. What's a drought? Drought is what's happening in California, and there's no rain, and everything is dry, and the first little spark, next thing you know, there's a forest fire happening. To satisfy your soul in the drought, he's going to guide you continually, and even in the drought, he's going to satisfy your soul. So this thing of our soul, the mental and emotional well-being in the rough times. That's what he's saying here. I'm going to satisfy your soul. The soul is the aspect of our being that has to do with our mental and emotional state. That's our soul. What is your soul? Where's your soul at? What's your mental well-being at? What's your emotional state at? And so here the Lord is saying, he is saying, I'm going to guide you continually. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought. Not only that, so not only is he going to help our mental and emotional well-being, it says, and strengthen your bones. So here it is. I want to help you even physically. I want to help you physically to strengthen your bones. Jesus' name, let it be done. Not only that, you shall be like a watered garden. Wow, a watered garden. You're going to be like a watered garden in the drought. Now, that's something amazing. I was watching a few things from Israel. Back in the 50s, they had this huge project because they recognized we don't have enough water. And so they started to reroute water. Check it out. Google it. YouTube it. They are basically taking water from the ocean, putting it through their plants, and desalinating the water. So it goes from salt water to fresh water. There's no salt in it. And they're pumping and they're filling up. There's a lake at the top. I want to say, is that the Sea of Galilee? But they're filling it up with the fresh water to the point where they are supplying Jordan that doesn't have water. They're supplying Jordan with water, with fresh water. The whole country is flourishing. They're, I think, the number three exporter of citrus fruits in the world. And yet, in the 1880s, Mark Twain, as he went to Israel, he says, it's just a wasteland. It's a desert place. And here the Lord is doing this work of exactly what his word says, that basically the land will become green and flourish. According to the word of the Lord, that's exactly what's happening right now. And it's just amazing what they can do for a country that really doesn't have any water. Not enough to sustain, and definitely not enough to do agriculture. And here they are giving their methodologies and their technologies. They're letting other countries, hey, you can do this too. We want to show you how you can do this. Just beautiful. And it says here that you're going to be like a watered garden, even in the drought, and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. When I was a teenager, us guys, my two brothers and I, we would go, and we'd ride on our bikes, And we'd go down, I don't know, about a mile and a half or two from our house, and there was two quarries. There was a big quarry, and there was a little quarry. And the big quarry was, the water was quite warm, but man, in the summertime, if there was not any, even if there was rain, it would become, at some point, it would become stagnant. And sometimes you couldn't swim because you'd probably get sick. And yet the small quarry, there's a smaller quarry where as they were digging out, they hit a spring. And that water was not brown, it was clear. And when you swam in that quarry, it was cold. And it was refreshing. And it was like a spring of water. The waters do not fail. It never got brown and murky and stagnant. There was a spring that was feeding it, and the waters that do not fail. And the Lord is saying, that's who I want to be to you. That's what I want to be to you. This thing of fasting, as we do it beautifully before the Lord, examining ourselves, and then we fast. The Lord wants to say, hey, I want to bless you. I want to bless you. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. Just actually one other thought for about these waters that do not fail. A watered garden flourishing. And this thing of these waters that overflow is this thing of blessing to others, to bless others in who we are. So, Lord, let that be. Let me be like a watered garden. Let there be a flourishing within me that others can be blessed by who I am. Like a spring of water whose waters do not fail to bring. Man, I couldn't believe it. I mentioned it the other day. The thing when we went out to sea, those that were living in the hedges, in the bush, they were all asking, can we have water? Do you have water? Do you have water? Clean water. Just to have clean water. We take it for granted when we turn on the tap. That we, our lives and who we are, can be this spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. The old waste places. What's an old waste place? Waste places. Things that are in ruin. Things that are not where they, it's broken down. And here it says, you will build the old waste places to bring restoration. And to me, this is more a thing of even lives. How many people do you know whose life is in ruin? And that we can be that one that would restore and build the old waste places. Lord, let that be me. Even as we fast, Lord, let me be the one that can build up the waste places of the lives of other people. Let me be that person. And this is what the Lord is saying. I want to do this through you. And he doesn't just say that. He says, you shall raise up the foundations of many generations. So people that for generations, maybe they've gone from one generation to the next, and it was like, oh my goodness, one hell after another, from the parents to the children. And it goes on from the children as they have children, it just continues on. And here the Lord is saying, listen, let there be a break there. That the things that may have gone from the past, that there would be a raising up of the foundations of many generations, whatever, whether there's usually about four generations that are there, active in every, at any point of time. We have four generations in this church. Right now, as I speak, there's four generations. And the Lord is saying, hey, I want to do a work through you to raise up the foundations, the foundation, so that there can be a building on the foundation. If there's no foundation, it's, even if you build, it's just going to fall over again. and the foundation of Jesus Christ, the foundation that of who he is, that we build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. We're talking about people coming to Christ and there being such changes that you're just like, I can't believe it. How many of you have noticed a change? If you got that as you were saved as an adult or young adult, you maybe were brought up in a home, there was no godliness, or you didn't grow up in a Christian home. How many of you, as an adult or young adult or adult, got saved? How many of you got, okay? A number of you, many of you. And you look back. I'm not saying that it's not easy, that life isn't always easy, and there's storms that come and there's darkness that may come. But you look and you say, thank you, Jesus, you have kept me. There's been a complete change as there was a new foundation established within me that is Jesus Christ and what he did for me on the cross. I grabbed a hold of that, and there is changes of a raising up of the foundations of many generations. I just say, thank you, Lord. And I love what it says here. It says, you shall be called the repairer of the breach. Now, some of you may say, I don't know, what is a breach? A repairer of the breach. Listen, when it comes to protection, even in Jerusalem, they understood this thing of walls. And in fact, Jerusalem has a wall around it even to this day. There's a wall around it that's thousands of years old. And even as the enemy came, there were breaches that were made in, and so the enemy could come in. We're talking about there being protection in your life, in the life of others, as we fast and pray. To fast and pray. And so there's a repairing of the breach, of that break in the wall. And we come in, we stand in the gap as we intercede for others. Don't underestimate the power of prayer and the power of fasting and praying together, that we can stand in the gap. So oftentimes we say we fast. Here's the issue. We may fast, but there's no prayer that's being done. There's no prayer. Yeah, I fasted. I missed a meal. I didn't pray, though. The Lord is saying, you know what? Start to pray. Start to pray. Pray for the people that are close to you. Or people that you see, oh my goodness, like they are so unprotected. The enemy's coming at them. The enemy's just able to get right through because there's breaches in the wall. There's no protection. And you stand in the gap for them. You stand in the gap for them. You intercede. That's what intercession is. You're standing in the gap for those that may not even know the Lord. And you stand in the gap for them to repair, to be the repairer of breaches, the repairer of the breach. And I love this, the restorer of streets to dwell in. When there's a taken out of all the streets and whatever, it's like, okay, if there's no road or the road is washed out, what happens to your mobility in getting to the place? It's difficult to the point of sometimes being impossible. Can you imagine? I'm just thinking about it. Like there's sections where the only way to get somewhere is you got to cross a bridge, right? You take out the bridge over here in Chippewa. You take out the bridge over here in just going across Lions Creek. And now suddenly it's like, okay, how do we get around? So sometimes we can get around. You take out a few more bridges and you can't even get into Niagara Falls. You take out the bridge in Welland or over the Welland River, now you can't even get to Niagara Falls. You got to go way around. Well, you take out another one, you could basically isolate an entire city just by taking out bridges. You can't get through, can't get in. Here it says here, you will be the restorer of streets to dwell in. We're talking about movement. We're talking about movement moving forward. Making people's lives stable and solid. Taking care of the holes in people's lives that they're filled. The walls are filled. to help others to be able to move forward. All as we fast and pray and intercede. It is so important. It says we're to agree concerning anything that they ask the Father. We're to agree. That yes, you can pray on your own, but there is something powerful about corporate prayer. Come for prayer. In your fasting, come for prayer. Let's gather together. Let's have corporate prayer taking place so that these things would come to pass. This year, we are talking about, especially about, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And this is what happened the moment that Jesus began his ministry. It was as a result of the Spirit of the Lord being upon him. The Holy Spirit was upon Jesus Christ, and ministry began. Lord, let your Spirit come and cover us so that there and infill us and overflow from us so that there can be ministry happening through us to touch others. As we fast and pray, Lord, pour out your Spirit on us in Jesus' name, that the ministry that you want to do through us to impact other people would take place. The repairer of the breach, to be called the repairer of the breach, the one that restores, the restorer of streets to dwell in. Thank you, Lord. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, verse 14, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. To keep his Sabbath. Now listen, the Sabbath is supposed to be what? A day of rest. This is something that was brought very strongly to me. So I don't have a Sabbath. I don't have a Sabbath. Not a good thing. So this last year, starting in February, I'm taking a Sabbath. I mentioned it a few weeks back. So my Sabbath, just so you know, starts at 3 o'clock on Sunday and goes to 3 o'clock on Monday. So sometimes if you say, I'm trying to get a hold of Pastor Dave and can't get a hold of him. Listen, you can contact someone, a brother or sister in the Lord. Contact them. Say, this is my situation. Let's pray together about the situation. To have a Sabbath. Now, listen, let me just say this. I want to go one step further. Who is our Sabbath? Jesus is our Sabbath. And so he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. You're working hard and you're heavy laden. It's like, oh, this is not easy. This is hard. He says, I will give you rest. Do you know that in Christ, now is it important to have a Sabbath? A day of rest. Have a day of rest, a time of rest. But to know this, that every day is a day of rest in the Lord. So whether we're working or not, he is the one that we take his yoke. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So he is attached to this yoke. He's in the yoke and we're attached to him. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. To be in a state, an emotional state, in the mental state that is so good, even in the heaviness sometimes of life. He's saying, I'm with you. You will get through this. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You're going to get through this. The importance of fasting and praying. To fast and pray, the benefits. And I encourage you, listen. I can't make you do anything, and neither does the Lord. He doesn't make you do anything. But he would have us follow him. To follow him. So it's a choice that we make. Lord, I choose to follow you. The Lord is saying, listen, I want to be with you. So often we're going in another direction. It's like, Lord's looking back, saying, hey, we had a dog, Chief. Chief was a good dog. Had him for 15 years. Or was 15 years old when he passed. But Chief, at times, would run ahead. So that was back in the day where you didn't have to have the dog on the leash or whatever. We're out in the country. And so he would run or be with us. And at some point, he'd run ahead. And there's times where you come to a fork in the road. And so Chief is running straight. And we're making a turn. And so as we make the turn, he's already ahead. He recognizes, oh, man, I got to come back. Hey, where's my master? The good thing is that he recognizes, oh, man, my master is going here, and I'm not following. I need to follow the master. I need to follow Jesus. He says, I will give you rest. I just say, thank you, Lord. I praise your name. Hallelujah.
Thanks so much for joining us, and we hope that the word you received was impactful and encouraging. We hope you can connect with us in person or online through our socials or website. Make sure you share this with others, and God bless you richly.